Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making one of those classic jungle and old school DNB tension tools that just works every time, a subsign riser. We're going to build it in Ableton Live 12, start it in session view so we can actually perform the movement, then capture it into arrangement view and tighten it up for a proper drop. And the key idea here is this: we're not just making a sound that goes up, we're making a low-end transition that feels physical, controlled, and musical. In DNB, that matters a lot. The build needs to raise energy without stepping on the kick, snare, or breakbeat. If you get that balance right, the drop hits way harder. So let's start with the source. Load up operator on a fresh MIDI track and set oscillator to a sine wave. Keep it clean. No need to overcomplicate it. For the amp envelope, keep the attack super short, decay long or full, sustain it full and release somewhere around 80 to 200 milliseconds so it tails off naturally. You want this to feel solid and smooth. Now draw in one long MIDI note. Usually one or two bars is enough to start. For a proper jungle or old school DNB feel, keep the note low, somewhere around F1, G1, or O1. Don't start too high, because once you do that, it starts sounding like a synth lead or a pitch effect instead of a bass transition. We want pressure, not polish. At this point, if you play it back, it should feel almost too simple. That's good. A subsign riser works because the motion is subtle at first. The listener should feel it before they fully notice it. Now open the MIDI clip and start shaping the pitch movement. You can do this with clip envelopes or by automating transpose-related control inside operator if you've set it up that way. Draw a smooth upward curve across the clip. For a two-bar rise, moving up around 5 to 12 semitones is a good starting zone. For a one-bar rise, keep it more restrained. For a four-bar rise, you can stretch it a bit more, but in DNB, especially old-school jungle, too much rise can start feeling overdone pretty quickly. Here's a useful tip: if the pitch movement starts to feel too obvious, don't just keep pushing the note higher. Instead, let the filter and harmonics do more of the work. That keeps the sound underground and controlled. So next, drop an auto filter after operator. Set it to a low pass mode, either 24 dB or 12 dB. Start the cutoff low, somewhere around 80 to 180 Hz, then automate it upward as the riser develops. By the middle of the build, you might be around 250 to 700 Hz, and by the end, you can open it much further depending on how bright you want the finish to be. Keep the resonance modest, maybe 5 to 20%. Too much resonance can make the sound whistle or get thin, and for this style, we want weight. The filter is not there to make the sound massive. It's there to reveal energy gradually. And this is one of those places where DNB arrangement thinking really matters. If you've got a breakbeat underneath, the filter sweep should feel like it's inhaling with the groove. It shouldn't fight the drums. It should support the tension that's already there. Now let's add some control dirt. Put saturator after the filter. Keep it subtle. A drive of around 2 to 6 dB is usually plenty to start with, and make sure soft clip is on. The goal here is not distortion for its own sake. The goal is to generate harmonics so the riser translates better on smaller speakers and still keeps that low physical energy. If the sound feels too clean, push the drive a little more. If it starts getting crunchy too early, back it off and let the filter opening carry more of the rise. A good trick in darker DNB is to let the last half bar get a little more saturated than the rest. That gives you that extra bit of pressure right before the drop. Next, let's make sure the sub stays disciplined. Add utility after saturator and keep the width narrow, especially down low. In fact, for the core sub path, you want it basically mono. Anything below about 120 Hz should stay locked in the center. That's one of those things that keeps your drop clean and punchy later on. If you want some movement, do it in the upper harmonics only. Don't widen the actual sub. That's a classic mistake, and it can make the low end feel sloppy fast. Now, if you want to take this beyond a simple riser and give it more atmosphere, here's where you can split the sound into layers. Keep one chain as the dry mono sub. Then make a parallel chain for the airy stuff. On that parallel path, use EQ8 to high pass around 120 to 250 Hz, then add a touch of echo and a little reverb. Keep the feedback low, maybe 10 to 25% on the echo, and keep the reverb fairly small or medium, with a dry slash wet of maybe 5 to 18%. Then add just a little more saturator. What this does is create a shadow around the main sub. The core stays solid, but the top layer opens up and gives you that haunted, unstable build energy that works really well in jungle and darker rollers. And just a reminder here, keep this layer quieter than you think. The whole point is to add anticipation, not to turn the riser into a wash. Now comes the fun part. Instead of jumping straight into arrangement view and drawing everything by hand, we're going to perform the build in session view first. That's the move that makes this intermediate workflow really useful. Trigger the riser clip alongside your break loop or snare build and listen to how it lands. If your break has swing, the riser might need to come in slightly early or slightly late. Session view lets you feel that in real time instead of guessing on a grid. You can also ride a macro or two manually if you've mapped your filter or effect controls. Don't be afraid to perform it a little. That slight human inconsistency often makes the build feel more alive. It stops the automation from sounding too perfect or robotic. Try launching the riser one bar before the drop and see how it breathes with the drums. If the build feels like it's fighting the groove, shift it. If it feels weak, tighten the timing or let the final bar open up a little more. This is where the performed part really matters. Once it feels right, capture or record that performance into arrangement view. Now you can polish it. In arrangement view, refine the pitch curve, filter automation, and maybe the saturation or echo return at the very end. Don't flatten the feel too much. You want to preserve the musical shape of what you performed, but make the timing clean and intentional. A really effective DNB move is to let the riser peak in the last half bar before the drop, then cut it off suddenly on the downbeat. That abrupt contrast is powerful. Sometimes that little moment of silence is exactly what makes the kick and bass feel huge when they come back in. If the track has a longer intro or outro, you can reuse the same idea elsewhere too. This isn't just a one-off effect. It's a transition tool. Now let's talk about balancing it against the rest of the mix. Play the riser with the full build section, breakbeat, snare fill, atmospheres, maybe a reverse hit or two. If the drums start losing punch, the riser is probably too heavy in the low mid area. In that case, trim some energy around 150 to 350 Hz, especially on the layered or effect heavy part of the sound. Use EQ8 if needed to clean that up. If the harmonic layer gets harsh, gently tame the 2 to 5 kHz range. Then idea is to keep the sub lane clean and let the upper layer carry the tension. And here's a really useful teacher note. Check the build at low volume. If it still reads clearly when you turn your monitoring down, it's usually balanced well. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, you may be relying too much on sheer sub-pressure and not enough on harmonic progression. For a darker, heavier version, you can also do a few variation tricks. One option is a two-stage riser. Start with a simple sub-rise, then in the last bar add a faster movement or steeper climb. That gives you a setup and release shape, which works really well before a drop. Another option is a stepped rise instead of a smooth glide. Hold the note steady for the first bar, then move it up in little jumps every half bar. That feels more classic and a little more urgent, especially when you've already got chop drums moving underneath it. You can also try a call and response style build. One short subsign phrase early on, a gap for drums or FX, then another phrase in the final half. That works great in jungle arrangements where the breakbeat itself is doing a lot of the talking. And if you want even more attention, try a subtle sidechain or compressor key from the drum pattern. Keep it light, just enough to make the sub pulse with a groove. That can really lock the build in place. If you want to push the old school vibe further, keep the modulation simple and repeatable. In this style, the power often comes from phrasing and contrast, not from hyper-detailed sound design. So to recap the workflow, start with a clean sign and operator, shape the pitch rise with a MIDI clip, add gradual filter motion with auto filter, give it controlled saturation, keep the low end mono with utility, and use a parallel airy layer only if you need more space and atmosphere. Then perform the build in session view, capture it into arrangement view, and tighten the automation so it lands perfectly before the drop. The big takeaway is this: a good subsign riser in DNB is about controlled low end tension. It should feel like pressure building under the break, not a giant bright sweep on top of it. If you keep the sub clean, add harmonics gradually, and let the final bar breathe, you'll get that proper jungle something is coming energy without muddying the impact. Now it's your turn. Build a two-bar clean version first, then make a second version with a filtered airy layer. Perform both in session view, capture them into arrangement view, and compare which one feels more underground, which one leaves more room for the drums, and which one hits harder right before the drop. That's how you turn a simple sign into a proper DNB tension weapon.